Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Join us for a journey as we go back to the great civilizations of the past. Who were the people? What were they like? How did they begin and how did they end? Let's find out on episode 70, The Destruction of Sennacherib. Previously on The Fan of History, Hezekiah of Judah has pissed off Sennacherib, the almighty king of Assyria, and is about to pay the price. Well, Dan, it's been a while, but what's
going on? It has been a while, and I have to apologize for that because I ran into a personal crisis. I had an unexpected and unwanted divorce, which sort of threw me off my game. And I had to focus on the big true crime podcasts to keep them alive, like Palmemordet and Seriemördarpodden. But now I feel a lot better. It's been 4 months. And so I figured we should do this thing again.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds great.
So let's talk about Sennacherib, but first let's talk about Patreon. As you know, we tried to get to $30 on Patreon, and we didn't do it, which is like, I love this podcast. This is my oldest podcast, and I now have podcasts, several of them, over $300 per episode on Patreon. But this one... can't get above 30. When we didn't, people dropped off. So now I think we are at 11. But if you want to hear us, you want to hear Phantom History again, please consider becoming a Patreon at Patreon, a patron at patreon.com/Phantom History, because it's a per episode deal. So you sponsor us with money if we actually do episodes. So all this time we haven't done episodes, there has been no money charged. And that will encourage us to do more Fun of History episodes.
Right. It's a pay-for-play situation.
Yeah. So let's talk about Sennacherib. He is the king of Assyria. He has ruled the Neo-Assyrian Empire since 705 BC, and it's now 701 BC, so 4 years. He crushed the Babylonian rebellion led by Merodach-Baladan. And Merodach-Baladan escaped Sennacherib's wrath to remain the arch nemesis of the Assyrians. This episode is named The Destruction of Sennacherib. And this event is the most famous event we have talked about so far, I think, in the podcast, because of Lord Byron, the poet, who published a poem in 1815 in a collection of poems named The Hebrew Melodies, where he talks about what happened to Sennacherib in 701 BC. And of course, Lord Byron is basing this on the Old Testament, which also has this as a major event. So now I was thinking that Brennan should do his best Lord Byron voice here and give us a picture of what happened 2,700 years ago.
Okay, I'll try. I don't really have...
We have the full poem here, people.
I know. I don't know. I don't really have an English accent, but I'll try to be as eloquent as possible.
Okay. Undramatic.
Undramatic. All right. Here we go. Lord Byron's destruction of Sennacherib. The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars into the sea. When the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee. The Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts...
Oh, it's a double there, sorry.
Oh, okay. And also, I need to turn off Siri because she keeps thinking I'm talking to her.
This is professional production, people.
It is, okay. All right. Like leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when the autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the spears waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heaved, and forever grew still. And there lay the steed with his nostrils all wide, but through it there rolled not the breath of his pride. And the foam of his gasping lay white on the turf, and the cold as the spray of the rock-beating surf. And there lay the rider distorted and pale, with the dew on his brow and the rust on his mail. And the tents were all silent, the banners alone, the lances unlifted, the trumpet unblown, and the windows of Asher are loud in their wail, and the idols are broken in the temple of Baal, and the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow in the glance of the Lord.
Well, I'm sure Sennacherib didn't expect that. So the angel of death appears and just breathes on the Assyrian army when they're sleeping and everybody dies. The Bible actually gives us a number here. We have 185,000 dead Assyrians. This is probably not what happened. But to be fair to Lord Byron, he only had the Bible's account of the events.
Right.
But we now have more accounts of the events. So let's try to look at this with some sort of historicity. In 701 BC, Sennacherib does attack Judah. He wanted to keep building. He wanted to stay at home. But Hezekiah of Judah has betrayed him, and he has to be punished. And Hezekiah, of course, he realizes that he put his bets on Merodach-Baladan. And Merodach-Baladan is now gone from the scene. So Hezekiah is, he's the main target of this Assyrian campaign. There are a lot of problems with this campaign. We do have, from an historian's viewpoint, that we do have problems for modern scholars. There are two main accounts. We have the Assyrian royal inscriptions, we have the Bible, and we even have an Egyptian account of what happened. They don't go very well together. There is a siege of Lachish that I might do a YouTube special on later, perhaps. But the siege of Lachish is one of the most well-known sieges that Assyria ever does. And this happens during this campaign. And it doesn't go very well for Lachish. We see we have the whole place. The town was never rebuilt, so we could. It's a site for archaeology, and we found a lot of evidence of Assyrian siege tactics there. But the Assyrians win the siege of Lachish. Lachish is a major city of Judah, and then we have this siege of Jerusalem. So if you look at these sources, then we have to first find common ground. What do they agree on? And the first thing they agree on is that Sennacherib did indeed invade Palestine. So, yeah, that's one thing. Hezekiah was the king of Judah, and there was an Egyptian army involved. It was defeated by Assyria at a place called El Teke. So an Egyptian army came to help Hezekiah, but was defeated. And then the Assyrians besieged Jerusalem. And then we have to look at what do the sources disagree on. The descriptions of the events are not identical. Perhaps the authors have different outlooks and purposes. But we really can't resolve all the difficulties this way. So we have to look at each of the accounts. So let's start with the Assyrian sources. We know the Assyrians are pretty good at writing things down, but they are always quite biased, as all ancient sources. And every piece of Assyrian writing is also Assyrian propaganda. But the Assyrians tell us that this was Sennacherib's third campaign. It was directed against Syria. So the campaign started north, far north of Judah, and it hit Sidon and Ashkelon. Because they resisted, they had probably forgotten to pay their tribute. Bad mistake. Arvad, Byblos, Smaimurum, Ashdod, Ammon, Moab, and Edom paid tribute without resistance. That means the Phoenicians and sort of the old vassal states of Israel. But Israel is gone, so they are paying their tributes. The citizens of Ekron, also called Amkaruna, became frightened because they had handed over their king, Padi, as a prisoner to Hezekiah to ensure their loyalty to the Judean cause. And this Padi guy, he was a loyal vassal of Assyria. So they threw him down and handed him over to Hezekiah. But now the Assyrian army is coming and Hezekiah is hiding in Jerusalem. So Ekron calls on Egypt and the Nubian overlords of Egypt for help. And he receives help, but Sennacherib beats the Egyptian army at El Teke, as we mentioned earlier. And then El Teke and the place called Timna are plundered. The nobles that threw this king Padi down, they are killed by the Assyrians. And somehow Padi is returned from Jerusalem to sit on the throne of Ekron once again. So I don't know if Hezekiah released him or what happened. But then the Assyrian sources says that Sennacherib did lay siege to Jerusalem. And during the siege, a lot of towns are sacked and put under the authority of loyal Philistines in Ashdod, Ekron, and Gaza, such as the King Padi that we just mentioned. He gets more property because he was loyal all the way. In the Assyrian sources, there is no mention of how this siege ends. But we do have a long list of booty, that the stuff that Nineveh received from Jerusalem. All of this probably happened in 700 BC or 701 BC. The fullest account, the Rassam cylinder, is dated clearly to 700 BC. But we also have two other pieces of Assyrian evidence. The looting of Lachish, the siege of Lachish that I mentioned, it's depicted in reliefs that have survived. And there it mainly is about how Lachish was taken by siege and the fear of the people, typical Assyrian stuff. We also have a fragmentary text which may have been written by Sennacherib that talks about the conquest of two Palestinian towns, one of them being Azeka, but the name of the other town is gone from the scroll or from the paper, from the stone. Lachish or Azeka isn't mentioned in the annalistic narrative of the third campaign. And we knew that this was the third campaign and Lachish was a major victory. So it's a little weird that Lachish isn't mentioned in the narrative of the third campaign, which gives rise to another theory that we will look at a bit later. The next source we had for all of this is the Bible, and we already heard the...
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Destruction of Sennacherib poem. But the full version of the Bible is the following. So Sennacherib comes in. He takes all the fortified cities of Judah. And while he is at Lachish, he receives a vast amount of tribute. This is in 2 Kings 18:13 to 19:37. So lots of tribute, which could explain the long list of booty that the Assyrians had. In Chronicles, we have in the Bible, it's always weird because they are talking about the same events in Kings and in Chronicles. In Chronicles, there is a detailed narration of the measures taken by Hezekiah to fortify Jerusalem against the siege. In 2 Chronicles 32:1 to 21, they also identify the leader of the Egyptian army as Taharqa from Nubia. And Taharqa is a known Egyptian overlord from Egyptian accounts as well. And we will talk more about the rest of the biblical narrative. I used Cambridge Ancient History for the source for this, and they did propose a solution to why there is, why the sources are, why they differ. And they think that there might have been two campaigns, that there's a second campaign against Judah late in the reign of Sennacherib, that is somewhere in the years 688 to 681 BC, because no Assyrian annalistic narratives are preserved for this period. For these 8 years, 688 to 681 BC, we don't have any accounts at all. So the proposed solution that Cambridge Ancient History makes says that in 701 BC, Sennacherib does invade Judah. He wins the battle of El Teke against Egypt. He wasn't defeated at all. And this is pretty much proven in the next thing he does in 700 BC, because in 700 BC, he has a full-strength Assyrian army. So he can't have lost 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, because that's a lot.
That would be hard to replenish in a year.
Yeah, but his army is fully operational the next year. Cambridge Ancient History further proposes that the siege of Jerusalem ended by Hezekiah paying a huge tribute to Sennacherib this time. And then he fortifies Jerusalem to resist the siege. And until 689 BC, for 12 years, Sennacherib is busy elsewhere, and we know he is. He has a lot to do. But after 689, in this eight-year period that we don't have any sources for, a second campaign is launched against Jerusalem. In this campaign, Azeka is conquered. The siege of Lachish happens in this second campaign. Taharqa of Egypt shows up, because 701 BC is a bit early for Taharqa to show up. But Taharqa showing up in 688 BC makes a lot more sense. And then some sort of catastrophe befalls the Assyrian camp, and the Assyrians actually lose in the 680s. So that's the Cambridge Ancient History version. We should now probably talk about Taharqa. I don't know if we mentioned him. It's been so long since last episode. But he is the son of Pieh, the son of Pi, the brother of Shebitku. The Nubians rule Egypt, and the Nubian succession is complicated because you are kind of supposed to be succeeded by your brother, except when you aren't. And it's very hard to understand. If Taharqa shows up in 701 BC, Shebitku is the pharaoh. So Taharqa is there as a royal general, but not as the pharaoh. And he's probably only 20 years old, which maybe explains why he loses so easily. But he does become the pharaoh over the 25th dynasty, the Nubian dynasty, in 690 BC. So if he leads the Egyptian army in the 680s, he's the pharaoh, he's older, he's wiser. And of course, this early defeat at El Teke wasn't too serious, and the Egyptian army wasn't annihilated. It could very well come back 12 years later. Okay, are you confused yet?
There's a lot of stuff going on here, man.
Okay, here's my version of what happened in 701 BC.
Okay.
Okay, we put everything here in 701 BC because it would be hard to cover it again in the 680s. So, okay, everything is happening in 701 BC. Sennacherib is besieging Lachish.
Mm-hmm.
The Rabsake, the grand vizier, important Assyrian guy, he travels to Jerusalem. Sennacherib learns that Taharqa of Egypt has recovered from his defeat and is returning. Lachish falls. So the siege of Lachish finishes. Lachish is gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
The Rabsake, this very important Assyrian guy, he appears before Jerusalem. And he shows up in the Old Testament in Isaiah 36:2. He addresses the people of Jerusalem from the west slope of the Kidron Valley. And he calls for Hezekiah. Because he wants to talk to Hezekiah, but Hezekiah doesn't show up. Three high Judean officials show up instead. They are Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah. And the Rabsake surprises the Hebrew officials by speaking to them in Hebrew. And this is, of course, a major problem for the Judean officials, because now all the people in Jerusalem can understand the Assyrian diplomat. Eliakim asks the Rabsake to use Aramean, because Aramean is the official language of diplomacy. But the Rabsake refuses because he feels that the people of Jerusalem needs to hear what he has to say. Strangely enough, Sennacherib does talk about the diplomatic mission to Jerusalem before the attack, but he sends the Tutanu, that is the field marshal,
mm-hmm.
and some Rabsaris, that's another senior official position. And not the Rabsake. But, yeah, details, I guess. So the whole diplomat thing doesn't work. Of course, Hezekiah doesn't want to give up. So the siege begins, and the full might of the Royal Assyrian Army is outside of Jerusalem. And this is it. This is the end for Judah if they win. They've already, 24 years ago, destroyed Israel. And now it's time for Judah to go. And then something happens. Something stops the Assyrian army from winning this siege. So the Assyrians do not win this siege. Jerusalem is not sacked, and Judah survives. We know this because Hezekiah remains in charge.
Mm-hmm.
We have three versions of what happened, what this disaster was. So first, you can ask Sennacherib, and he says, "What are you talking about? There was no disaster. I got tribute. We went home. I am awesome. And by the way, I deported 200,150 people as well." So that's the Assyrian version.
Seems typical.
Yeah, but he did not win. He went home because he was paid off.
Ah, I see. Yep.
He says. And then the Bible says that the angel of death showed up and slaughtered 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, which we are pretty clear that it didn't happen. But then we have an Egyptian version recorded by Taharqa. So Taharqa says that he prayed to the gods of Egypt. "Hey, Jerusalem is in trouble. Help them, won't you?" And the gods of Egypt helped Jerusalem by sending an army of field mice.
Oh my gosh.
And all these mice, they eat the Assyrian bowstrings. And Sennacherib in the morning realizes that, hey, we don't have any bows. And Assyrian warfare without bows is pretty hard. So then Sennacherib goes home. And I have a quote here. Maybe you can read it from Taharqa.
From Taharqa. The gods sent a multitude of field mice, which devoured all the quivers and bowstrings of the enemy, and ate the thongs by which they managed their shields.
Okay, didn't get shields either, so bows and shields are gone.
Yeah, you can't have an army without bows and shields. It's impossible.
Sorry, I misspoke, actually. This was not Taharqa's version. This was the official Egyptian version. Oh, but Taharqa has his own version.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that was the official
Or we
Egyptian.
Have records from Taharqa, where he says he went with Shibitku to Lower Egypt, that is, to the Mediterranean. And this is sort of the general area of Judah. It's close to Lower Egypt.
Gotcha.
And he says he doesn't mention any campaign at all. And maybe he does this because he got his ass kicked, so he just wanted to talk about that.
Just forget all that happened.
But the fact remains that Hezekiah stays in power, he's still in Jerusalem, and Sennacherib goes away. And that's the destruction of Sennacherib.
Wow.
So Sennacherib survived the destruction as well. We have some other stuff that happens at the very end of the 8th century BC. All the problems in 705 BC, the death of Sargon, has led to the loss, that the Assyrians lost the northwest provinces, sort of the southern Turkey and northern Syria, that area, because they rebelled, and as we talked about earlier, they probably killed Sargon. Mm-hmm. So Tabal, Q, Kilaku, and Melid are free of Assyrian vassalage. And they are now free states. Some other states in the area do remain loyal to Assyria. It is possible that Q actually returned voluntarily to Assyrian vassalage, perhaps on the advice of King Midas, because King Midas is fighting the Cimmerians in the mountains, and he is now a friend of the Assyrians, as we talked about earlier. Also, Argishti II of Urartu, he's also busy fighting the Cimmerians in the mountains, but Urartu will be back. It's not over for Urartu yet. And Merodach Baladan is still out there plotting against Sennacherib and the Assyrians as usual. We also have the 20th Olympiad in 700 BC, and a guy named Atheradas of Laconia, that is a Spartan, wins the stadium race. And we don't have any other information of the other events. This is the final podcast with this format, but we will continue Fan of History, but we'll talk more about that in the next episode, because in the next episode, we'll do something very special. We'll talk about the history of Brennan.
Oh, wow. It's all about
me.
That's
not the ancient Assyrian.
Nope. There will be very little to do with ancient Assyria in my history.
Yeah, very little.
Yeah, we'll describe what, you know, where I came from, and we'll go back several thousand years over the course of time to see my, if you want to call it, a genetic drift.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it for this, but please go to YouTube. Lots of good stuff out there. Subscribe, like, and share. And if you want to, give us a review on iTunes. We have facebook.com/fanofhistory. Also Patreon, like Dan mentioned. Patreon.com/fanofhistory. If you want to follow Dan on Twitter, he's @DanHorning. If you want to follow me, I'm @CeruleanSaysHi. So, for this week, I am Brennan.
And I'm Dan.
And this has been Fan of History.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/fanofhistory. Just $1 an episode would help us out. Thanks, and see you next time.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.